And our scripture reading this morning comes from two places in God's holy word. First, from Psalm 23, which will be our text for this morning, and then also from John chapter 10. So please turn with me to Psalm 23, if you wish, and you can find that on page 458 if you are looking in the blue ESV Pew Bible. Psalm 23. A psalm written by David, and he writes these words, very familiar words, I believe, but very profound words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then turning over to John chapter 10. You can find that on page 896 of the Blue Pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. John chapter 10, I'll read the first 18 verses of this chapter. Jesus speaking here. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. May God bless his holy word as we look to it this morning. Psalm 23 is a short but very profound statement of the hope all who are trusting in Christ alone for their salvation have each and every day of their lives. It's a psalm written by David. And if you look through the Old Testament, you see that David had gone through much turmoil and strife and difficulty in his life. But at this point, things are going well. One commentator that I read described the setting of the psalm this way. He says, "Its calm and peaceful strain speaks of a time when David was dwelling in safety after the trials, dangers, and struggles of his early life. It tells of want, but it no longer exists. Of danger, but its terrors are gone. Of enemies, but their day of power is at an end. It befits, therefore, the time when David was crowned in Jerusalem, when the Ark of God was placed in the tabernacle on Mount Zion, and Nathan had announced that the kingdom would be perpetual. At this stage, David's pastoral life, tending the sheep, was still fresh in his memory, and all was going well with him." And of course, we know that all didn't go well with him in many cases early on, but certainly at this time, he's writing of the blessing that he has from the Lord. And we're going to look at this psalm under two headings, which both come from the first verse, which pretty much summarizes the psalm. First is, "The Lord is my shepherd," and secondly, "I shall not want." And it's amazing to me, as I realized I hadn't preached on this before, so this gave me an opportunity to do so, but there are so many ways that all of Scripture ties together, and it's very hard to limit what I can say about this psalm. There is just so much in it, and I trust the Lord will bless us as we look at it. First of all, the Lord is my shepherd. And to understand this a little better, we need to first understand what a shepherd is and what the shepherd was called to do for the flock of sheep under his care. So first of all, the shepherd obviously is called to care for his flock. They're his sheep. They're his sheep. And that involves a close personal relationship. And so if you look at the times that this was all written, the shepherds had a very, very close relationship with their sheep. They knew their sheep. It wasn't like there was some far-off person who didn't really understand, but the shepherd spent his days and sometimes his nights with the sheep and knew them well. The shepherd lives with his flock. He's everything to it. He's the guide, he's the physician, he's the protector, he's the provider for all the things that the sheep need. And so the shepherd is to care for the flock. And he's to find grass and water for the flock. Obviously, if the flock is to thrive, they must have food to eat and water to drink. And the job of the shepherd, one of the primary duties, was to make sure his sheep were well fed and had plenty of water where they could drink. And the picture here in this psalm and what the shepherd would aim for is one of a quiet, calm, out of danger place where the sheep would thrive. The shepherd also had the duty to protect his flock from wild animals. Someone who didn't own the sheep but was just hired to care for them might run away when the wolves came to steal the sheep, but the shepherd who owned the sheep would fight to protect them. And we saw that as Jesus spoke in John chapter 10. So the hired hand just runs away, but the true good shepherd fights for his sheep, protects those sheep, and keeps them safe. The shepherd is to look for and to restore those who strayed. In Matthew 18, verses 12 and 13, Jesus says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search for the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray." And so the good shepherd, the true shepherd, doesn't just let them run off, but rather he goes after those who stray. The shepherd is the one who would lead the flock out each day before and then return the flock at the close of the day. They would stay in a sheepfold overnight, a place of safety for them. But the shepherd would come, and the shepherd would call out his sheep, and his sheep knew his voice, as Jesus said in John 10, and they would follow the shepherd. They wouldn't follow someone who was not their shepherd. And the shepherd brings the sheep out of the sheepfold, where they're kept safe overnight, so they can graze in those lush green pastures that he would find and would lead them to, and then returns them at the end of the day. So that's what a shepherd would do. That was the duties of a shepherd, and those were important duties that had to be done each and every day for the sheep. But what does it mean then for the Lord to be my shepherd? For the Lord to be my shepherd. And you'll notice in verse 1, the name Lord is all capitals, and that's the covenant name of the Lord, the one that is sometimes referred to as Yahweh, the name that means everything about him, that includes all those things. And it's the Lord who is my shepherd, if I'm trusting in Christ. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, my shepherd, the Lord God Almighty. The Father who gave his only begotten Son to pay the penalty for my sin, that I would be delivered from it, and for your sin, that you would be delivered from it. The Son who made the perfect sacrifice, who laid down his life, who volunteered to do that. He was not forced to do that against his will, but he came to do that very special thing, making that perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty required by God to deliver you and me from the penalty of our sin and the power of sin over us. And also God, the Holy Spirit, who gives us new birth and the gift of faith, who guides us as we study God's word so that we can understand and apply that word in our daily lives, and who brings conviction on us when we sin and leads us to repentance. It's this almighty, all-powerful God who created the universe who is my shepherd. When David says that, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What a difference that makes. It's not some powerless object created by man or a fallible, sinful man who only cares for himself. The living and true God is my shepherd. And we know that God, as our catechism says, is a spirit infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. That is who our shepherd is, the living and true God. What a difference that makes. And that should make a great difference as we go through our lives day after day after day, knowing that the Lord is our shepherd. Well, the result of that is, I shall not want. And the rest of the psalm shows how that all fits together. And so, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. And the word want there means lack, the idea of having things that we absolutely need that cannot be ours. But the Lord as my shepherd, so I shall not want. So first of all, the Lord provides what I truly need. The Lord leads us to a place of peace where we can fully experience his goodness. And for David, think about David's life and the things that he went through. And if you, I encourage you to look through the Old Testament and see the history and all the things that happened where David had many enemies, and they tried to kill him. They would hunt him down. He had to hide in caves sometimes. He had There were a lot of difficult circumstances, but now the Lord led him to a place of peace where he could fully experience the goodness of God. Although he had certainly experienced the goodness of God all through his life as he went through those trials. Now, we may not experience a luxurious lifestyle. God doesn't promise us that. But we can learn to be at peace with God's providences in our lives. And part of knowing that the Lord is our shepherd is that we can live in peace with God's providences. In Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so, with the Lord as our shepherd, we can live in peace in whatever circumstance the Lord places us at a particular time in our life. And as we go on, "The Lord restores my soul," we read in verse 3. And he gives life, first of all, he gives life to my spiritually dead heart. If you remember from a well-known verse in Ephesians chapter 2, "By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And what a blessing it is to know that he brings us from the dead spiritually to the living in Christ. The Spirit brings us back when we stray into sinful paths. In Psalm 51, David, who wrote this Psalm 23, also wrote these words, praying to the Lord, after being caught in adultery and murder, he writes these words, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." God did not let David just commit much evil, which he did, and just get away with it. God didn't let him just say, "Okay, I did this." No, God convicted him. The Holy Spirit convicted him of his sin and led him to pray this prayer that we sing when we sing Psalm 51. God doesn't leave us astray. The good shepherd comes after his sheep. Those that fall, the good shepherd picks up. Those who struggle, the good shepherd brings back and convicts of sin and leads to repentance. What a blessing it is to know that the Lord, as my shepherd, will do this for me. What a blessing. And the Lord leads me in paths of righteousness, David says. For sheep, of course, the shepherd would lead the sheep in the good path that they were to follow to get to the good place where the pasture was green and the water was calm, and that would be their daily life. But for a Christian, this points to the work of the Holy Spirit applying God's word in my heart and in your heart and leading us to properly understand and apply that word in our daily lives. The Lord is my shepherd, and he does that for me by his Spirit. And he does this for his name's sake. Notice that phrase, for his name's sake. The Lord is glorified as we are brought back from sin, as we follow the paths of righteousness that the Holy Spirit shows us from God's word and applies in our hearts. And God's name is lifted up and exalted as those things come to pass. The Lord's name points to who he is in every aspect of his existence. We honor his name when we faithfully follow his leading. Even in the darkest of times, also, the Lord is there to shepherd us. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so even in the darkest times, the Lord is there to shepherd me through whatever difficult situation I may be facing. The shadow of death speaks of something like an impenetrable gloom or darkness. And we had a little taste of that recently when the eclipse came, and we didn't get to watch all the things that led up to it, and at least most of us didn't. But the sun's rays were blocked as the moon passed between the sun and the earth, and gradually it got darker and darker and darker, and finally it was pitch black, unless you had a prime truck driving down your street like we did. The air got noticeably colder as the sun's rays were blocked. And that's a little picture of what the darkness can be. But the Lord is with me even when it gets totally dark. He's there in any kind of darkness I face to guide me through that darkness, whether the darkness is physical. Sometimes we have physical ailments. Sometimes we have emotional struggles in our lives. Whatever it may be, the darkness is not something that the Lord leaves us in alone. The Lord is my shepherd in the times of darkness. In Psalm 139, verses 11 and 12, we read, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Speaking of the Lord there, the Lord, my shepherd. And the Lord guides and counsels me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. How do they do that? Well, the rod, of course, was the shepherd's weapon for defense. When he was protecting the sheep, he would have his rod, and when the wolf would come, the shepherd would go after the wolf with his rod, and he would protect his sheep from being taken away. The staff is something that the shepherd would use to guide the sheep. Sometimes the sheep would want to stray off the path, and he'd have his staff and kind of tap them to get him back in line and follow along that path. Discipline is security and the shepherd would provide that discipline as needed. He defends and disciplines his sheep for their own good, to keep them from straying and losing their lives. And the Lord, as our shepherd, does that for you and for me. And then the Lord prepares a banquet for us. The picture here is that of a great banquet after defeating an enemy. And you can imagine the scene there as the victorious army sits down at the tables to gorge themselves on a beautiful meal that has been prepared of all kinds of wonderful things. And they have the enemy sitting watching them. You can imagine that picture there as they feast. As honored guests at a banquet, the host would anoint the person who was the honored guest with oil. And that was something that was done, a sign of honor in the Old Testament times. And the overflowing cup demonstrates the abundant blessings that come to us from God. And then the Lord's goodness and mercy are showered upon his people. The Lord, who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in goodness, is my good shepherd. His mercy, his unfailing love, his kindness, as he brings his covenant promises to bear in our lives. And he blesses us with his faithfulness. He has made his covenant promises, and God is faithful to keep each and every promise he has ever made. In Exodus, when Moses came down from the mountain and the people were rebelling and sinning, he broke those two tablets, and then he came back to the mountain. The Lord called him back. And we read in Exodus 34, 4 to 7, "So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.' The Lord, who is always faithful to keep his covenant promises, has promised to be merciful to you and to me." And where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me," the idea of follow here is not just a casual, slow, kind of a little bit behind you, coming along behind, but rather it's a vigorous following. It's the Lord vigorously pursuing me with his goodness and mercy and showering that upon me and upon you as you trust in Christ. And of course, the ultimate blessing is eternal life with the Lord. The promises made in this psalm don't end with physical death. In John 3:16, that a well-known verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That's the ultimate blessing. The shepherd, the good shepherd, guides and directs us throughout our life. And then he brings us to that final place in heaven with him forever. Psalm 73, we read, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So how do we apply this? What a blessing it is to know that the Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd? Examine your own heart. Have you come to the point in life where you are truly trusting in Him alone? Where you acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you deserve His wrath, but God in His mercy delivered you? God set apart a people for Himself. That good shepherd seeks out His people. God blesses with that gift of faith. Has He blessed you with that gift of faith? If so, know that the Lord, as your shepherd, will guide you and guard you and provide for you all the days of your life. What a blessing to know. To know that He's always with you. That when you sin, the good shepherd will seek you out to bring you back into the fold. He won't let you go. He'll convict you of that sin. And He'll call you back. And He won't stop calling you back if you're truly His. If you're going through difficult times in your life, and many of us have, some are still going through difficult times in our lives, the Good Shepherd is there when you go through those difficult times. And we can cry out to the Good Shepherd for deliverance. And note how often, as we go through and sing the Psalms, note how often the psalmist is doing exactly that. And so we don't just, if things are difficult and we're struggling in life, we don't just go around with a false, fake smile on our face like all is well. No, we can come before the throne of grace, before the Lord, and cry out to Him for deliverance. Just as David did in Psalm 51 when he was convicted of his sin. And know that the Good Shepherd will be there to comfort and guide you as you deal with all those difficulties. And it's interesting to look back over your life, and you have various trials and tribulations. I'm sure each one of us can think of some. I had a little interesting experience recently where I'm going through all my old papers, and I came across my draft card from 1969 that had my 1A on it. And I look back at my life, and I'm not going to go through it all because it would take too long, but seeing the hand of God, how God used my being drafted for the Vietnam War to bring me here. There are many things in between. But step by step, God, even though that was a horrible thing to face, God in His mercy led me through all those things, led me through three different careers, brought me here. What a blessing. And as you look back in your lives, and of course you don't all have 75 years to look back on like I do, but as you look back over your life, think of those things and see how the Lord has been your shepherd through them. What a blessing it is to know that's true and that He is there. And even in the dark times, He is there. If you're trusting in Christ, if you've come to faith in Him, He is there for you and He will never leave you. What a blessing. And so the Lord is the faithful shepherd of everyone who trusts in Christ. And let us rejoice in His marvelous mercy and grace granted to us. And look forward to the day when all these things will come together as we go to be with Him in heaven. Let's pray to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this psalm. We thank You for the abundance of truth that You proclaim in it. And particularly we thank You, Lord, that as we trust in Christ, we know that You are our shepherd, and that you will never forsake us, that you will never leave us. Even though we may go through difficult times, O God, and we pray that you would deliver us from difficult times if we're going through them now, but you're there, even in the darkest of times. You're there, and we thank you for that. We thank you that we can trust in you to be faithful to your covenant promises in everything. And as we look back on our lives, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see how you have been shepherding us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your blessing. And we pray, Lord, that you would open the hearts of all who do not know you, O Lord, to hear, to respond in faith, and to see your work as their good shepherd. And so bless us, and we give you thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.